Welcome to Skills Journey, hosted by Emil Rovenheimer and Yanni Brofenboer from PopUp, the People Upliftment Program. This is your passport to a transformative journey where we uncover the power of skills together.
What a privilege to be back with Skills Journey, and we are so fortunate to have Lukas Lukov here with us in studio today. He is the CEO of the Hatfield City Improvement District, and we are super excited to hear all about the incredible work he's busy with and doing, but also really to dive into his skills journey and how he got here. So welcome, Lukas. Please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you very much, Emil. It's a great privilege to be here. My journey is sort of a bit of a different journey because I've been in Hatfield now for just short of 9 years, sort of completely out of my skill set that I formerly sort of trained, because I'm a trained banker. I was in banking for more than 30 years, and luckily, I think God rescued me out of that. I chased money for a long time of my life, but I found that the more you chase it, the faster it runs away from you. So I'm in an area now where I can make a contribution to the city, and I'm very privileged to be there.
Lukas, it's so good to have you with us, and I'm super excited to listen to all the things that God has imparted in your life. But obviously, your journey didn't start here. And will you please kind of bring us into who is Lukas? Where are you from? What were those initial dreams as a young man? Tell us about yourself.
All right. So I grew up in a very average middle class family. I'm from a town up north, Limpopo, Tzaneen. Went to Marinsky High School and did national service. And my dad thought it good that he's going to waste his money to send me to university. So my mom, being a banker at the time, working in the bank, found me a job in the bank. All right. And it wasn't long. I met my wife in the bank, Anna Marie. And we got married very early in my life. And that's probably one of the greatest moments when she told me that she's pregnant. And then it was work, because there's a family. And so my skills journey has always been a work and study at the same time sort of situation. I was fortunate enough to at the age of 39 start a master's, which I completed, which I'm very grateful. What I'm trying to say is, I think we probably never stop learning. My years in the corporate world sort of stopped at age 50, and I was sort of headhunted by the University of Pretoria to come and manage a company for them, the Hatfield City Improvement District, which is responsible for the urban management and safety and security of the Hatfield Campus Village Precinct. That's an area around the Hatfield campus. I mean, Hatfield exists because of the University of Pretoria. So the anchor institution, and Prof. Nick Revere, the registrar at the time, came to me. At the time, I was venturing into some entrepreneurial businesses. I had three businesses, and I got a call from a friend of mine who said, listen, we got something better for you to do. And he told me the story, whenever we sat in church and the issue of city changes came up, my wife would give me an elbow, at the time when I was in the corporate world, I was working in Johannesburg, this gave me the opportunity to say, well, listen, don't you want to make a contribution in this town, all right? And I started there in about 2015, got involved in the Hatfield CID, I thoroughly enjoy it. Not a single day feel like work to me. because every single day is different. You don't know what you're going to get. So, but I love every second of it.
That's incredible, Lucas. Don't you want to just give us some insight into this masterpiece, really? And I think a lot of people would consider it a masterpiece, what has happened in the City Improvement District in Hatfield, just because it's so novel, it's so rare. It's not something that we've, I suppose, globally really figured out. And this is pioneering work that you guys have done. And maybe just give us some insight into what is this thing that the Hatfield CID does? And how does that manifest? What is the implications and the consequences of the work that you guys are busy with?
All right. So a city improvement district is a non-profit company, essentially, which manage a particular geographical area on behalf of landlords. So we have a formal agreement with the municipality of Tshwane, who have given us the right to manage and own the streets, the sidewalks and parks in and around the University of Pretoria. So I have an insourced cleaning team, 16 people under the leadership of Martin Madiba. We remove about 70,000 bags of refuse out of the streets of Hatfield. We fix about 400 potholes. We trim 1,000 trees. We manage about 400 flower beds. So the aesthetic stuff that you see in Hatfield, I mean, that's done by that little team, which I call my ambassadors. I love them extremely. Then we're also responsible for the safety and security of the area, which probably 75% of our funding goes into that. Security is very expensive, but we have a fantastic balance between people and technology. The area is covered under CCTV cameras with a partnership through VumaCam, where we have world-class technology. We've just rolled out a panic app as well under the name of the Hatfield CID that we give to students. So primarily, one of our biggest focuses is those 40,000 students there. I would like parents to sleep at night, when the youngsters go playing, we try and make sure that nothing breaks. Mm. All right. So we're in partnership with the city. All right. The city also sees us as a partner of them. Okay. So it's a great partner to have. And our funding comes from all the landlords. All right. So it's very important to understand that. By far the biggest stakeholder, the University of Pretoria. The chairman of our board is Mr. Sandile Mtenyani, the chief operating officer of the University of Pretoria. So we work very close with the University of Pretoria. To ensure the functionality of Hatfield. Maybe something to mention is that the University of Pretoria is rated in the top 5% in the world. So the dream that we have is a very simple one, and what we're saying is if they're in the top 5% in the world, then the suburb should also reflect that. Okay. Should also. So we only say that we want a world-class suburb.
Lucas, what I love about this conversation is just how I can hear how proud you are of this project. It's not something that's just technically a project, because it sounds like it is something that happened with you. Like it's a dream that's actually come true for you. A question that I have is, was this something that you've always dreamed about? Maybe was there a dream before when you were a young man, and now you're actually seeing this come to fruition? Maybe bring us into that.
Yanni, very interesting question. When my time in the corporate world was up, I was in the shower one morning, and I talked to God in the shower because I can't hide anything. Anyway, God said to me, "I got another job for you." I said, "Serious? I mean, these businesses that I've started are just showing, these fountains are showing promise. There's going to be some water soon, And I prayed about it, and in that same week, I got this call to say, "Listen, this guy said, this friend of mine said, listen, we want to see you because we believe that there's a new career for you." I said, "But you're crazy! I've just started this thing. How is it possible?" And we know the pain of startups, all right. But it was a fantastic school, all right, to go through that process of startup. All right, to know the pain of cash flow, to understand what it is that you wait for money. I mean, and that you give money out before it comes. And so I don't have a job. I have a calling and I have a mission. And always, as one of my friends say, you have an assignment, eh? And that's really the way I see it. God has given me an assignment, which I really enjoy.
Lucas, I wanna kind of dive into this idea of assignment, right? Because you're referring to this, to some extent, this masterpiece as a new assignment. And the implication is that there probably were some assignments before that. Hmm. And I would be interested to know, when did you kind of discover this idea of assignment? And before you discovered that, what was kind of your approach to work? Because previously you kind of made it sound like you ended up in the bank by accident and by default to some extent. So I'm not really sure whether you felt like that as an assignment about that. But perhaps somewhere in that journey, something switched for you. Mm. Maybe just bind us into that experience.
All right. So you're absolutely right. I mean, I was just fortunate to get a job. Mm. All right. Happy to have a job. But banking was extremely good to me in a sense that it gave me a skill set, all right? It allowed me to study, and I will forever be grateful for that. Not in my wildest dreams did I ever think that I'm going to manage a student town. Never, never. And that's what's so beautiful about this thing, and that's why I'm so passionate about it. I believe that God has groomed me in a certain way. He made sure that I have the necessary skill set to put me in this position to be the CEO of a nonprofit company where we're not in it for the money, but we're in it to make a difference. We're there to make a difference in terms of systemic brokenness. We are there to stand up against the wickedness of this world. We are there to make sure that the future of this country, which are the students, get a fair chance to become what they are, because we all know that they are work in progress at the moment. But whilst they work in progress, that we give them a proper chance to do that. When I speak to my friends, especially around the Braai, they can never stop talking about their days in Marula and their days in Bupani and, you know, all that sort of. Their student days are sort of the thing that is, that, you know, it's sort of acted on in them, you know. It's a part of who they are. And I really want to make sure that whilst you're there, that something doesn't happen that breaks you. I want to, and that's the whole reason. I'm very fortunate that I have an extremely good team around me. I really believe that a CEO is only good as the people around you. We all know that. So my safety and security manager, Dion van Rensburg, is an ex-soldier, and I'm yet to see commitment like that in my life. I've a work ethic like the man does, and he owns Hatfield. You understand what I'm saying? He's this ownership, this accountability, and nothing happens in those streets that we don't know of because of Dion. So coming back to your question, this assignment of mine, as God said, already, listen, I've given you enough of that now, but I want you to do something in my workshop, which we call the kingdom. All right. So what I want to say to you is this: yes, my early days and acquiring my skills was all good, but I don't think that was part of my assignment. Maybe it was my pre-assignment, if I can call it that, because I had a family, and you know, we got to do what we got to do with family. I got two beautiful daughters, and you know, you got to keep the lights on. All right, but in that preparatory time, God has said, no, I have a plan for you. All right. And I'm going to use all those skills that you've acquired to put you in a position that you can use them, but I will also shape you going forward. Because I think that's critical to understand that we are being shaped every day of our lives.
Lucas, I think that's so profound. And I want to gain your perspective on, I mean, while you were in banking, while you were in this preparatory season, you didn't know what you were being prepared for.
Absolutely not.
So in that season, while you're acquiring these skills and having this exposure and gaining this experience, how do you keep going? Where was your source of hope, resilience, determination in the context of, I don't feel like I'm on assignment at that time. Now when you look back, you're like, obviously that was preparation and it wasn't wasted and it was for this incredible thing, which I now understand. Mm. But it would be super helpful to understand if you now reflect back into the person you were when you were not necessarily clear on your assignment. How did you navigate that season without knowing what you know now?
I think it's not an easy answer, that one, eh? I think sometimes we live and life happens and you're not quite in tune as to what's my purpose, what's my calling, why am I here for, am I only the provider for my family and whoever it is. But I think I did a... we're very privileged in Doxodale, where we've been worshipping for 28 years, to have processes that will help you to find your space in God's plan. And I think that's probably the thing that changed my whole worldview, all right? So I have a Christ-centered worldview, and I try and live my life with three critical things, and that's integrity, humility, and gratitude. And you can add generosity to that if you like. But I don't believe, unless you find that place in the workshop, God's workshop, that you'll ever find happiness. All right? Because it's the only place where you can be, where you know. Every morning when I pray, I say, Holy Spirit, can I hook in with you? And where are we going to go today? Because I know there's something happening, you know. So I want to say this. I mean, there was the prep time, yes, all right, and very, very much going through the motions. I drove to Joburg for 18 and a half years, just for the record. I mean, that's reason enough to stop, you know. Anyway, it's an absolute privilege for me to know to be part of building this model, which I'm considering doing a PhD on. I mean, we're in discussions with the University of Pretoria about it, because, as you rightfully say, it's unique, and within the context of the challenges that we have in our country, how do you ensure that people are safe, and how do you ensure that we actually invest in this hope of the future for us, all right? So the Atville CID is a place of miracle and hope. Really, that's what it is, and that's the way we see it, all right? And there's no other way that we live our lives.
Lucas, it's so insightful to hear how God has taken you from almost from point A to point B, but there was lots of different pieces of impact that happened with you, but that there was a church that you were involved in that played a pivotal role in your journey. And I think for us, we don't talk about church as a building. We are the church. And there's obviously lots of influence from people that's also played a big role in this journey that you've been on. And I know that we're almost through this first part of our discussion, but it's beautiful to me to hear the journey of one person who's been, yes, your journey has changed, but your steadfastness in what God has told you to be or who you are. And once you figured out there's a purpose for me and I'm playing this role in a kingdom, it changed the way you looked at the world. And when you were saying in the beginning, when we started the conversation, that you actually chased money to start with, and where now you live as a generous person, God has flipped that on its side, and how he's changed that innate part of you to where you're like, I am so part of this kingdom. And yes, I'm no longer driving to Johannesburg. and lots of us might still be on that journey, and we are still driving to Johannesburg on the journey. But God isn't finished with us, and he's not finished with you. And I'm excited to have the conversation in our next session just on what God is doing personally as well in your life. So thank you for being here. And don't forget to join us again in our next conversation with Lucas.
Thank you very much.